Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. This might be our second take. You wouldn't know this. It might be our 10th take. You still wouldn't know this. But I just want you to know this is definitely not our first take.
I believe that married couples, they never just, you just don't kiss anymore. You're married. And you were like, that's not true. And I was like, 100% that is true. So I just want to put that out there for all the married folks listening to us, because it's true. I think it's true.
What's true again? Say it again.
That you never just kiss. You got married. You're not just kissing now. You're never just making out. There's always an end goal.
I know all of you are sitting here with the confusion of, I need some more depth in this conversation, because clearly they did have more takes.
Okay.
We are going to just move forward now.
We were talking about making out, which was a very normal and healthy conversation.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
And then you were joking about having a podcast about making out. And anyway, we just...
Because
I mean, that's essentially
I love to make out.
And then I was like, married people don't just make out anymore. True or false? I'd like to know what you think.
I'm all about it. You just making out with me on the couch. All right.
You guys, we're so happy that you joined us.
Yes.
And we hope you're having a wonderful day with interesting conversation between each other.
Hopefully you're making out. All right.
You know what?
Are we jumping into this now, or are we going to still have some friendly banter?
What I really like about our podcast, for you and I personally, is that it opens up a conversation between us of things that we're working on, ideas that we like to talk about, in how we're growing and how we love each other.
Are we encouraging other couples to start marriage podcasts? Just stretching their horizon.
Okay. I mean,
stretching. I just said stretching.
That's between.
It's not a word.
That's between them and God. What I am encouraging them to do is to have conversations with each other that could lead.
Yes.
To more of an in-depth emotional.
Absolutely.
Moment,
there needs
right?
to be some like, vulnerability. There needs to be stretching. Yeah, there needs to be that like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this about you.
We're not doing this because of the podcast. The podcast came out of us doing this on a regular basis. Like, I feel like we like to talk about things.
Right. So,
we do, but maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
So as you've already read, the title of this is Three Ways to Connect Deeper with Your Spouse. There's a lot of deepness that is needed.
Wait, is deepness a word?
I don't know anymore. We'll just figure it out later. Either way.
I gotta look it up.
Why?
Because I can't. I can't walk through this and not know.
If deepness is a word?
You need to talk about some of your words.
All right. We can make up words. This is called the English language. And I grew up in the 90s.
Deepness is a word.
Hey, look at me.
The deepness. Yeah, sure. I'm crazy right
I just
now.
Want you
I
all,
apologize.
I just want you all to know that I rock the board game Scrabble. I am so good at it.
You are really good at it. You are really good at it. You know all of those like...
weird two-letter words.
Yeah, the two-letter
I do that on
words.
Purpose. All right, back to this, to the point at hand, deeper. Years ago, Anna and I went on a trip. It was one of the first ones we had gone on in a long time where it was just you and I,
yeah.
And we went out west, and obviously those thoughts were, because we've gone out west multiple times with friends, which that helps carry the conversation as you're just sitting there. There's, you know, so much silence that takes place, but when you're together, it's just the two of you, you're sleeping in a tent, or you're just sitting on a rock, or sitting in front of a bonfire, or a campfire. It is definitely one of those, like, what are we going to talk about? So I remember thinking at the beginning of the trip, our children weren't involved, and what are we going to be, like, talking about 24/7 for the next week? Like, I had that kind of thought, like, cause are we going to, you know, well, I don't know. So
get sick of each other?
Not, no, I never thought that. I never thought that, because...
Are we going to run out of things to say? No, but it really was our first trip without friends or kids or family. And we like being around people.
Yeah.
Don't you think sometimes like married couples, you often invite couples to go with you because it's can be a bit of a cop out. I mean, of course you enjoy it.
Oh, but I don't think that.
Don't think that?
No.
I think sometimes people do.
No, I think it's fun to go with friends.
Oh, no, I do too. Yeah. But I think if you're having a rough time, if you're going through hard things, it's easier to include
buffer,
other couples.
Like they buffer the situation.
That might be
the
buffer. Case. Yeah. That happens.
That might be the case. But I think personally for me, with that particular trip, I was contemplating like, man, are we, you know, what's it going to be like? What are we going to talk about? But it was interesting. Like after day one and two was kind of silent on top of being tired from traveling. But then day three, four, five, six, it was like we were just going and we were talking and we were having fun and we were laughing and all that kind of stuff. So I think sometimes you need to put yourself in environments like that, that push the conversation to some deeper thinking of what you're talking about, what are you thinking about, you know, all those kind of things. So I love that.
We did make a rule before we went on that trip to not bring up heavy topics that could turn into an argument or some type of a miscommunication. Do you remember that? Like we made a rule that we were not going to talk about things that we should not talk about. You're like, okay, explain that.
We're pastors. So we have to deal with heavy topics all the time. And then on top of it, I don't do well with topics that I can't fix within a day or two. I can deal with larger vision topics where it's like, all right, we need to be planning for this or whatever. But like if it's a problem and we're talking about the problem and I'm in a location or a place that I can't solve it, I do not enjoy this.
Okay, so like deep financial insecurities. We were not talking about that on this trip, okay?
No. How to fix our troubled teenager.
Right, we were not talking about that on this trip. That was not what it was for. Now, could we put in something of vision of what we were believing God for with our finances? Like getting excited about things? Yes. I mean, we talked about those things.
Yeah.
We really were just trying to open our hearts up for communication in a way that it was a safe place to have fun and to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Maybe some of your conversations have been so heavy that you've lost sight of the joy of simply getting to know one another.
Yeah.
And finding that relatability.
That's a word.
I know. It took me a minute.
All right.
Of what it was like to simply just make out on the couch. It's like how I brought that back in.
Nice.
Because it's valuable to have those moments to really want to know one another again. I was 22 when we were first married. You were 25.
Mm-hmm.
I am turning 43
we're
soon.
We're going there.
You're turning 46.
She loves to remind me how much the age I'm about to turn.
You're
I don't
on
know
the
why.
Other side of 45, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? You are.
She's done this forever. I don't even know what the point of it is. All right. Anyway,
okay.
There is a relational need.
I'm different though. That's what I was going with. Okay. I'm not the same. I'm Anna, but I've grown. I've changed. Yeah. There are new things at almost 43. There's new things at you at almost 46. Our kids are in different seasons. We're in a different season. And did you say no, there's not new things with you?
I'm the same kid as I was when I was 25.
But you are growing. We're always growing. You're not the same person. I'd hope to think that we're always growing.
Yeah, we're growing.
So there's new things. Okay, there's new things to find out about each other.
Right, so there's a depth that needs to be encountered more often. And there's a relational depth that needs to take place. That's really important.
With your guy best friends, you have a guy best friend.
Talking about me.
Yes.
You don't have guy best friends.
I said with your.
Okay.
I do not. You and Justin talk often and you get to know each other, right?
Yeah.
You ask each other how your day is. You're like having basic conversation to grow your friendship.
Yeah,
the same
you
with
should
me
never
and
be
my
willing
friends.
To share those things with someone else above your spouse. Like that has to be the depth, the thinking, the emotions, what's going through. Like you need to be able to have that trust here. That's why the more that you go towards it and experience it and it's valued at a foundation where it's like received, because that's really important, then it's like, trust, I can do this. I want to do this. I can't wait to call Anna and say, hey, I've got this going on. You won't believe this. Or we can celebrate victories, high fives, and then we keep going on. But I would never, I'm not sharing things with Justin I wouldn't share with my wife. Like both are shared. Now, at times, obviously, it's just a different reaction from a man when I share with my best friend, Justin, because he'll tell you as a coach of like, get over it. You know, if I'm like having like a hard time, get over it, you know, but you are going to sympathize a little bit. So it's a little different on the receiving end from those individuals. But at the same time, I would never, ever, ever, ever violate that depth by sharing it with someone else other than you.
And I would say this, don't spend all of your words on your best friend and then you have no words left for your spouse.
Right.
Like if you're someone that your word bank is naturally, you know, pretty low, like you only have so many words for the day, then you could find that you've already given them all out to everyone. You come home and you don't want to share because that's not a part of your personality.
Correct.
You're going to have to manage that where when something comes up and you're like, oh, hey, this is something great, or this is a part of my life that I want to share with my spouse. I don't want to be so exhausted or that I've already given out what I can emotionally, that I have nothing left.
Yeah.
And then that communication and that the depth of what we're talking about here is you've not poured into that, you know?
Yeah. Now, let me say this real quick. Before we get to the points, we're dragging along here, but I am very well aware that I know more men. I don't know of any women that do this, but I know a lot of men who are exhausted at the end of the day, not on purpose, but they're exhausted at the end of the day that they're like, they don't think about telling their spouse. Because I'll hear some spouses say, they'll be like, man, my husband, he just doesn't talk very much or whatever. And sometimes they just don't remember to, or they forget to. It's like, did your husband tell you this? This happened the other day. And they're like, huh? What happened? Yeah. And I'm like, you didn't tell them? Like, I just completely forgot. Like, so.
That happens with us sometimes.
Yeah, that does. It does happen. So. Sometimes I'm kind of like, I just didn't think about it. Like,
I have people say, oh, did Pastor Josh tell you? Because typically it's something from church. And I'm like, no, but I'm sure he will. He wants to.
I want to, but unfortunately, I think it's because it's just so much compounds. It's like, I don't even know what to like think or say. So anyway, sometimes I want to forget. So they're just kind of goes
too much.
Away. But anyway, all right, here we go. Point number one for a deeper connection with your spouse. You need to have that inner dialogue, which we've been talking about. We've kind of been dropping it in here, but that inner dialogue is number one.
A healthy inner dialogue.
Yes.
That you are continually, all right, what do we mean by this? How are you thinking about yourself each day? What's the depth of the conversation in your own thought process that you've invited the Lord to transform your thoughts? Are you struggling with insecurities or something that's just extremely challenging, anxiety, worries, things that you're holding on to in your own thought life, that when it comes time to connect with your spouse, all you can do is, you're like, what are those Garbage Pail Kids? You had all of those cards. What was the one like his brain was like?
I don't remember. I don't know. Adam. Oh, it was. Wow. I just remembered a Garbage Pail Kid. It was Adam something.
Yeah. And so your brain is like this, you know, this bomb ready to go off, and because your inner dialogue, maybe you've just forgotten that you have the mind of Christ, that you've not been renewing your mind to the Word of God. I know people are like, oh, you always take it back to the Bible and get real spiritual. God created your mind and he wants to transform your thoughts. He also wants to take all of those cares and concerns. And so I know for me personally that if I have allowed my inner dialogue to go wild and it's like imagination station up there, then I can dump that on you. And we are not connecting deeply. It's like a forest fire, you know?
Yeah, I would say most of the time it's because I'm like, oh, where's this coming from? Like, what's happening? Where's all this at? Because if it's not done enough, then I'm lost in the conversation or understanding why you're thinking this way or where's this coming from or what, like all of that. Is that true? Does that make sense to you?
I can give you so much information at once that you just can't even follow it. I also think with your inner dialogue, if you're not believing the best in yourself, The word of God says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And he's talking about the truth of salvation. Is that John 8:32? I think it might be. I feel like I want to look it up just to see. If you don't understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior inside of you, in that inner dialogue, then you're going to find yourself struggling with encouragement, mm-hmm. struggling with having healthy conversations, struggling with believing the best in your marriage and how you communicate, dealing with continual, just thinking the worst of every situation. And I think that's when we find that our conversation or our connection with one another can really be negative.
Sure. And it's important that your spouse pulls you out from that and helps for you to see the truth rather than being deceived by it.
John 8:32.
You are.
Did it.
A Bible scholar.
Well, you know, I am growing in the Word of God.
But that inner dialogue needs to be grounded on the Word of God. It needs to be the truth, because you can start believing a lie pretty quick. And that's not, I'm not saying you, but in general, all of us.
No, I have. Yeah. I recognized last week, we had a moment where there was a communication breakdown. And we had a conversation that came out of it where you apologized for your part in it. And then I apologized because I recognized, oh, I am not believing the best in him. What happened after our communication little faux pas that morning, my inner dialogue, at first I was like, you know what? I'm okay. It's fine. And then it was a dumpster fire, right? Then I was like, I'm not okay. Actually, I'm pretty aggravated at him. Then I was like, no. You're going to work through it. It's all right. Then I was like, but I'm really mad. Like, this is all going on in my head. And you can work yourself up that if you don't submit that to God or allow the Holy Spirit to help you and guide you into all truth and to the love of Christ. I mean, God's love is always the way to victory, and we've got to think of this. Then you're going to find that when you have that conversation that could connect you on a deeper level, meaning you're going to grow from it.
Yeah.
You won't have that. What you'll have is another explosion, or you'll find yourself connecting from a place of hurt mm-hmm. or dysfunction.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing we need.
Right. Yeah. No, we don't want that. Like, that's the problem. Like, be willing to go deep, be willing to go vulnerable, but the person who is choosing to go deeper and being vulnerable, the other person also has to choose and realize, read the room, oh, they're going deeper and vulnerable. I need to be sensitive right now.
Yeah.
I need to be aware of this rather than pushing my own agenda or whatever. So that's really important.
I want each of us to evaluate our inner dialogue. Ask the Holy Spirit. You don't just evaluate it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you areas in your thought life that he can guide into the truth of God's word that will help you to connect with your spouse in a deeper way.
Yeah.
For me, one of those main areas, and this sounds horrible, and I apologize to you for it, but I was like, I apologize for not believing the best in you when it comes to these things. And I'm thankful the Holy Spirit helped me to not only be aware of that, but then to regulate that in my own life.
Yeah. I don't want to come across like I am innocent 24/7. I'm not innocent by any means. I've done things that you're like, oh gosh, why? But I think a lot of times you have seen with me personally that I'm like, I'm not even thinking that. Like, I'm not even coming close. Like, I'm like, I'm not even thinking this way, because I'm going to err on, not an excuse, but that idea of kind of like, I might be a little airheaded sometimes on this, of like the gravity of the circumstance or what is happening or something. Like, I'm like, because I'm always scratching my head, like, I did not see that coming. I wasn't ready for this or whatever. Not a great excuse. I'm just saying at times I have found myself there.
Maybe. Okay. So then on the other flip end, should you have, is this where not only do you have the awareness of like, oh, you said read the room, but are you putting your thoughts to how you can connect deeper with your spouse on things that maybe you can see they're struggling or they're dealing with or in their daily lives? we've had that conversation where I've said, hey, I need you to ask me how I'm doing in life. But you're going to have to think about that. That's going to come from your inner dialogue of like, I need to think about my wife today and check on her and be intentional with that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, because you can be selfish.
Yeah.
I got all my other things I got.
Okay. The second part is you guys, we even talked about leaving this out because I feel like this word is such a struggle bus for so many people that you don't even want to hear it anymore. You're going to stop listening to us right after I say this word.
It's because we say it so much. Everyone says it. We all say it. It is a key part of a lot of dysfunction and function.
Yeah. Okay. And it's being an active listener.
Active.
It's listening.
We've been sprinkling it this whole time, but now it's just poignantly being said. Active listener.
It's really being present in the moment.
Right.
And we all struggle with it. Men, women. I mean, are there people that are better at listening than others? Yes. My personal struggle is I tend to get excited about a conversation. Even though I'm listening,
yep.
I unfortunately will interrupt because I get really excited about what we're talking about. I work really well with people that also interrupt. We just interrupt each other the whole time. And at the end of it, we had the best conversation ever. If you're not like that, then unfortunately, I may offend you. Or you might think, wow, Anna's not listening at all. I am, but I'm growing in this.
You are.
You make me aware of it.
Yes. Anna has a tendency to sound like the Gilmore Girl show.
I'm just thinking, I've got all these thoughts.
If you're not familiar with this show, most men do not like this show.
Josh hates this show.
I hate it with a passion because they talk too fast and they tend to talk on top of one another. So the minute that there's like, there is no pause between the dialogue. So if I'm talking right now and I pause, boom. She's talking. Boom. I'm talking. And it's like, oh gosh, it's just too much. There needs to be silence and pausing of reflection. Like that right there just killed Anna.
Killed me.
Like, oh my gosh. Like it was like suffocating.
My heart is palpitating. Okay.
Fill the void. Fill the void.
Some of our greatest arguments have been when I've asked you a question. And then you have started to answer, but you've had a thoughtful pause, and I thought you were finished.
Not.
And I begin to talk, and then it shuts you down. Agreed. You agree with this?
Oh, yeah.
Then I get aggravated or frustrated because I'm like, no. Just talk. I'm happy. I want to talk to you. And he's like, I can't. Then you shut down, and then I get aggravated. And then before you know it, we're mad at each other.
Dumpster fire.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Anna, just sit and listen. I'm working on it.
You are. You're doing great. Let me define active listening. I just looked it up real quick. It's about making a conscious effort to hear and understand someone else. When we actively listen, we demonstrate concern, limit our interruptions, and ask open-ended questions. That is super important. That really helps to peel back the onion to what's going on. Like, to peel back to see and reveal those things. That gets you to that deepness that we're talking about right here.
Are you asking open-ended questions? And then are you willing to be empathetic, have a compassion, have a concern that you are a part of the answer.
You also are creating a judgment-free environment when you do this because you are showing the communicator that you are engaged, that there's trust. So you're creating that beautiful environment where it's like, all right, they're actually wanting to hear this. They're wanting to know. And that means like, it's like the best thing ever.
Having trust in that you want to have a deeper connection with your spouse. You want them to trust you with their voice.
Yeah.
And their emotions and their heart.
Yeah.
Their desires and their dreams. What if you were to say something and someone immediately has a negative word or a you know, like, oh, well, you should do it this way or whatever that might look like. You don't trust that person then because you don't feel like that's an open space to, you don't feel accepted. You don't feel accepted.
No, and truth be told, if we're talking about like a value of time spent in that deep act of listening, if it's only 30 seconds, I mean, granted, any second's great, but if it's like 30 seconds, there's not much value to it for that person who is communicating, needing that, you know, knowing that they're listening, like that feeling of like, oh my gosh, there's the word I'm trying to come up with, but it's,
I know what you're saying.
I know, but in my brain, if I'm the one communicating and I need you to listen right now, I need more than 30 seconds. I need more than a minute given. So I need you to disconnect from everything else that was going on. Sometimes I can be selfish to ask someone to do that. So maybe there might be set a time like to do it. But what I need from you is validation. That's the word I was looking for. I need some validation in what I'm thinking because I'm being vulnerable right now and I'm seeking after the person that I trust the most to validate my thoughts and to guide them to where they actually need to be going because I could be wrong. I could be seeing it completely different. And I need some emotional healthiness to what I'm dealing with.
And leaders are good listeners. You want to grow in your leadership with your spouse. We're slow to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're quick to listen.
Yep.
And that's something I'm continually working on, even in my communication with the Lord, where I'm not just rapid fire.
Yeah.
And then not taking the time to listen to what the Holy Spirit's speaking.
Right.
All right, you guys, our third thing, and this might be my most favorite out of these, of building a deeper connection.
It's funny. So when we were writing all this down, she says, hey, you said this at a marriage conference in Missouri. And I was like, what did I say? And then she said it. And I was like, I don't remember saying that. Yeah. But hey, praise the Lord.
I wrote it in my notes because I really enjoyed it. And it's got a star beside it. I mean, it's special.
I feel special.
God's voice should be the loudest voice in your marriage. And our point for this is don't you be the loudest voice.
Yeah, God needs to be the loudest. So I love the thought of, I've been saying this to our staff here at the church. We've got to pray before we decide. And I say that because it goes back to hearing God's voice. Not all of our voices of what we should do, but God's voice. God's voice is number one. So in your marriage, you got to make sure you're not the loudest voice that it's just your opinion or your desires or your wants. It's like, I want to listen. I want to go to the depths of what both of us are wanting and then come together on this.
That it's also not your aggravation or your being a cynic or a critic with what's going on. I mean, it can be on the positive end or the negative end. Because
yeah.
I have found myself before where I've been so aggravated or working through something and my voice is way louder than what it should be. When you have that still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking, saying, hey, I like how, you know, God ministered to Elijah and it wasn't through the earthquake. It wasn't through the fire. You know, I mean, it was that still small voice telling him to come out of that cave of despair and that God had, you know, all of these thousands of people that were ready for him and he had an Elisha, like God still had something great to do. I absolutely love thinking of the Holy Spirit calling me out of that point of despair so that he can remind me of the good plan God has for my life. And if you're louder than all of that, or you're expecting something louder, or you're used to that type of dysfunction, then this is a good time to pause and say, okay, God, I want you to be the loudest voice in the room. Simply, I think, have your way in my life. Like, God, I need you. Have your way. But I don't, maybe we overcomplicate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about being, or having that deeper relationship, that deeper dialogue, all of those kind of things. The person who knows you the best is God. Why would you not invite him into your relationship so that it is understood, heard, and known. And that's like the best thing we could do.
A scripture that we say at our house all the time, we've got four kids, and we're constantly wanting to work on how we connect in a kind and loving way, is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Is what you're saying imparting grace to who you're speaking to? Is God's grace flowing? Oh my gosh, you guys, this is like, I feel like this has been one of the biggest things that I've been thinking about lately. Am I showing grace to that individual in the words that I'm saying right now? This isn't just with you. This is with everyone. I mean, these are deeper connections. We're using this with marriage, but to be quite frank, having a deeper connection with your family, with your friends, with whomever this looks like, is choosing to work on that inner dialogue and submit it to God, to really be an act, be a good, ask questions and listen. And then that you say, oh my gosh, Lord, I don't want to be the loudest one in the room here.
No, I think that's the big thing is you shouldn't be a two-face. Like, you shouldn't be one person over here and another person over there. Like, that's where familiarity is so sad. And you see it often. You treat your spouse different than you would anyone else, or vice versa. And it's like, no. Like, this just needs to be who you are in Christ Jesus with your walk, that this is it. You're a Christian through and through. Like, that walk, that definition of 1 Corinthians 11:1 of follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ, like in your relationship, in your marriage, that deep. Now, are you willing to go deep with other people? That's neither here nor there. That's a questionable, you know, stance. You don't need to go deeper with everyone else out there. But I'm talking about in the sense of being
in your sphere,
yeah,
and how you're loving on people.
Yes, the grace you give one another, this should be the same you give the grace of yourself, forgiving one another, for walking in there with active listening, of caring for one another. All of that is so important, and practicing it in the home, practicing it out there in the world, you should be doing it everywhere you go.
I really like this topic. I feel like it's, you know, when we're walking through this and asking ourselves what we want to talk about, these are all things I'm working on all the time.
For sure.
And
I want to go deep.
And
I don't want to stay surface level.
I don't either. And it's not heavy, you know, it's good. It's good. Like, it's a good plan.
To wrap it up, this is our flesh, but that's not who we are. Who we are is our spirit, man. And that's who we are, and that's some deep stuff.
Yeah.
Deep thinking, what's going on in the inner dialogue of our head, all of that kind of stuff. Like, those are the things that you need to be willing to do. So it goes beyond making out on the couch.
Yes.
I mean, I like doing that.
I like that this is full circle. This is a full circle podcast.
But there is a needed time to make the making out on the couch worth doing, because of the depth of conversation that you're having about who you are, what you're thinking, and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Hey, I love you.
I love you. Hey, guys, thank you for tuning in. If you liked it, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Share, invite a friend. Hey, share this with like your small group, somebody at church. Yeah. We love church.
Absolutely. All right, guys, have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Bye.